This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties.
This is the Bobbycast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the top 10 best Bobbycast moments of 2023. Let's do the top 5 Bobbycasts of the year, and not just my picks. Because in the last episode, I had Adam Duritz from Counting Crows, one of my favorites. But also, we're factoring in all the episodes and how many times they've been downloaded or streams. So you guys are a part of this as well. If you missed part one, go back, check it out. So we'll do some clips. Jake Owen at number 5. Episode 381, and it's kind of cool, sometimes weird, sometimes hard when it's a friend that comes in. Because like, I already know a lot of things, so it makes it weirder for me to ask questions if I already know the answer. But this one, it was fun because not only is he a friend, but it got emotional when he was talking about the highlight of his career and also his sobriety and a health update after going to the hospital for exhaustion. Here he is, Jake Owen at number 5 from episode 381.
And you said, I haven't slept well in a long time. That's what I'd come to find out after going to the hospital. That's my only issue. I literally do not sleep. Anything that's happened since then, and what was that about?
That was about me not sleeping, man. I just wasn't sleeping. I was losing a lot of weight. I was probably just like getting all, I don't know. It's weird because I'm not really been doing anything any different since then. Sometimes you just need people to tell you you're okay. Really.
Is that what they told you? You're okay?
Yeah. Everybody was like, they made me feel better than I did by just telling me things that I don't know that I needed. They were just telling me honest things. Like I'd convinced myself I was, you know, dying. Like I'm gonna die out here on the road. Like I'm out here, you know, doing this all the time and I'm missing little things back home, and my family's like been affected by it, and I don't want this to be the way that life's supposed to be. Like this is what I love. Like why is it the thing I love? It's like that song by Alan Jackson, you know, everything I love I'm gonna have to give up because everything I love is killing me. That's how I felt. Like I felt like I was living an Alan Jackson song.
So whenever you find out that something isn't really wrong with you, does that change your perspective? Did you live a different way? Like, was it lighter?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think Erica would tell you that. I think if anything, what I found out was is kind of what Caitlin was saying earlier. Like, just kind of like relax a little bit and everything's going to be okay. Like, you can convince yourself such negative things when that's all you stress on and harp on. But when you're like, hey, nothing I worry about over the next 15 or 20 minutes, which personally sometimes to all of us can seem like a lifetime, but over those next, you could spend those next 15 or 20 minutes just doing something different, finding something else to be happy about.
Do you feel like you're a happier person now than 5 years ago?
Than 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I hope so.
3 years ago?
I hope I'm happier today than I was yesterday.
Do you feel like you are purposefully happy?
I feel like I'm still figuring everything out, man. I feel like I'm still, like, I'm 41, but I still feel like that 22, 3-year-old kid that drove here. Like, I know I can do this. I'm excited to do it. can I? You I'm still that guy.
You like, feel more positive.
I still am.
To me than in past years.
Yeah. I mean, because, well, thanks. I don't intentionally wake up every day and go like, I'm going to be way more positive today, which I probably should. I try to preach that. I think people listen to my music and the type of music I put out would think that, like, man, this guy's barefoot and in the sunshine all the time. And he's just like, he's a dude. Like, and I am, but I have, just like everyone else, you know, I got things that I'm just trying to be better at. I try to learn something each day. So we talk about the masterclass stuff. Like, I looked at Erica this morning and was like, hey, we like we have a lot of friends right now going through like a lot of crazy stuff. And that's what even Tyler Hubbard, not to drop his name again, said to me at lunch. He's like, how's everything with you, man? Everything good? And I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, life is great, man. And I say that because just this morning I told Erica, I was like, so many friends going through so much stuff right now that like we're not, and life is good. And that's when you really have to, like, when life is good is when you really need to be thankful for it. Then when life isn't, and you're, it's like when you're sick and you were trying to remember what it felt like to feel good. And so I feel really good right now, and I want to remember what this feels like, and I want that to spread throughout my family as well. And hopefully telling other people too, man, life is great. It's awesome. That also helps them, because nobody wants to hear someone say, hey, man, how's everything? And then you sit there and listen to them just blah. You know, nobody wants to hear that.
More front lobe?
Front lobe all day, baby. Let's go.
That's the saying.
Stay in that front lobe, man.
Trademark that. So right. the front, because the front lobe does what?
Front lobe, from what I've learned, is where, you know, your majority of children, they live, and until they progressively, you know, through experiences and things like that, you tend to live more the way we're wired as humans, into a more back lobe brain. Front lobe being more joyful, creative, spontaneous, carefree, all those, which are great qualities. Rear being more protective, anxious, the things that we don't really need in our lives. So you can have the choice of where you kind of want to live.
You do not have jakeowen.com, but you have jakeowen.net.
Yes.
What's the deal? What will they not sell it to you, or are they asking an insurmountable amount of money?
I've never really thought of it that way. I just knew that when I couldn't get the com, I was like, I'm cool with net. You know what I mean? I'm about that net.
Sounds front lobe to me.
Yeah. So I was cool with it. I never really overthought it like that. Until you asked me, I don't know that I've forever, you know.
Now he goes back lobe.
Now I'm like, now I go
what,
back lobe.
Spirals
back lobe to the manager. Why do I not have jakeowen.com? No.
I got a couple more questions for you. There was a story about you in the Tennessean, because there was a restaurant and Kayla and I were having lunch and we saw a big line coming out of a place where we were eating lunch. And we're like, I wonder what's going on over there. And we found out it was a place that was closing after I don't know how many years. And they were closing because they wanted to close. They wanted to retire. And they were doing these stories about it leading up to it. And there was a story, and you weren't interviewed for the story. It wasn't you putting it out there. But the owner of the story, and I'm going to have you tell it, just like literally tell it. I'm begging you to tell the story as is. The story was about you helping them out years and years ago. It never came out until she told the story. Can you tell me that story?
Yeah. And I told you this. That's why I was so flattered by it, really. And there's a great George Steinbrenner quote that I saw on the wall when I went to Yankee Stadium one time that says, like, you do good things for other people, but if someone else finds out about it, then you did it for the wrong reasons. Like, you're supposed to do good things for people because it's the thing to do, not for the people to talk about it. And so this particular scenario, when I moved to town, which is a great kind of segue off of what we all talked about earlier, I would go to Arnold's on 8th Avenue. Because it kind of felt like home to me. Like, my mom always made like home cooking, and I grew up that way down home, down south with my grandma, my granddad. My nanny was a good cook, still is. And so I'd go in there and have like rare roast beef and mashed potatoes and gravy and whatever. And I got to know the people that owned Arnold's, which has been there since I think the 50s. And everybody from Dolly Parton to Charlie, John Prine, all kinds of folks go in there. And I just loved it. It's like meet and three, meaning you go in there and grab your tray and walk down the line and grab the food that you want to grab. And so I would do that. And Jordan Spieth is calling me. Should I answer this?
Yeah, answer it.
He did this to me on an interview one time.
Answer it.
What's up?
What's up, partner?
Tell him you're with me.
I am very random. I am in the middle of an interview right now, and okay. I'm with Bobby Bones actually on doing a radio, like a podcast. And I said, and my phone was ringing. I was going to send it to voicemail. And then a lot like the last time you were on an interview, I guess somebody's like, Jake Owens, call on your phone. So I said I had to answer. So are you just excited about our playing possibilities coming up?
I'm just really excited that we're finally going to win the Pro-Am version. We're going to go off this year.
I'm going off.
Are you guys playing together?
We are.
Sure?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I'm going off. I'll buzz you back.
All right, sounds good. See you.
See you, buddy. He's right here. See you, man.
Never heard of him. Anyway.
That's so cool, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Like, I know that he's even my partner, but, like, sometimes I'm like, are we really partners? Are we buddies, you know? That's cool to get a call
from. He's awesome, dude. I mean, I played with him because you were like, hey, you should play with him. And you called Jordan. You're like, hey, play with Bobby. And I play. Awesome, dude.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. So you're at this restaurant.
At this restaurant. And I meet, you know, Rose Arnold, who runs it, and her sons, Khalil, Mons, Franz. She has two daughters. I got to know all of them for years. And one of the times I was in there visiting, Mons was going through, had like some type of a brain tumor, I think it was. Had to have surgery like on his skull to remove this or do some sort of procedure. And they were really worried. She was worried about how they were going to fly with the pressure And I don't know, just I have a tour bus, so I wasn't thinking or anything. Like, just take my tour bus. I'm not on the road. Take it up there. My driver will pick you guys up tomorrow, take you there, bring you back, whatever you need. Like, just say. And they did.
What year was that?
I don't know.
Guess.
2010,
roughly.
Maybe, I guess. 2010, probably. And they were always so sweet about it. You know, like, I'd go in there like I always did. And, like, there'd be times where they would just be like, hey, we want to take care of your lunch or something. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, it's not a big deal. They just always treated me like their family. And anyways, it was really flattering to think that as many people they've had come through that restaurant, as many scenarios and the types of folks that have come through there, and all the incredible stories I'm sure they have to share for what that restaurant became to people, like a second home, a place of comfort. Like, to think that when I saw that article that day, it got to me because there are times where you wonder if, like, when you do good for people, like, if they're, you don't do it, like I said, but you do it because you hope that they remember the kind of person you are. And it just made my day. I was like, dang, like, they could have talked about anything over the last 50 years of this restaurant. And she just happened to talk about me doing that for them. And to me, to be able to be remembered for that kind of thing, forget everyone else knowing, because I never cared for anyone else to know, but that it meant enough to her and their family that they remembered me like that. And not like, she didn't say like, this guy was a singer, you know, whatever. Like, it was just someone that did something for them and their family. Like, that's my coolest story about Nashville so far. Like, people, of what people remember me for. So that was cool, man.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool.
At number four, it's Dan and Shay. From episode 414, it's a big one because they shocked everyone on social media with the news that they almost split up. So it was nice to sit down with them and hear their sides of the story. We talked for a full hour. They shared what they did to create their healthier friendship and what they talked about in their conversation that saved the band. And remember, if you want to hear the whole thing, go back and check out episode 414 with Dan and Shay. Here they are, my number four moment.
Sometimes when I make a change in my life, it's got to be because it gets to a point that is so drastic that I can realize it.
Yeah.
Where it's, oh, I'm not in a good place. I mean, when I went to on-site, I wasn't in a good place. So it took me to actually hit, we'll call bottom.
Sure.
You know, when my mom would go to rehab, she would hit bottom, and then she would go, would you say in you guys' relationship, because you got to hit a bottom to get to actually have the desire to get out of it or to get back in it?
That's a great point. If you never hit that rock bottom, you might not realize that something's wrong or that you need to make a change. And
is that it for you guys?
I absolutely hit rock bottom. I'll, you know, speak on my side of the story, and, you know, Shay can speak on his. But that date was December. It was like first week of December of 2021. So this was when we finished the arena tour. You know, you work your whole life to get to a place where you can sell out an arena tour, We did. We put that on sale in October of 2019, you know, when 10,000 Hours with Bieber came out. Put this tour up, sell out MSG. We sold out Staples Center, two nights at Bridgestone, like all these bucket list milestones. We're riding high. It's amazing. And then boom, COVID happens. It's all gone. And it's like, man, what a, that'll mess with your head. So we're juggling that for a couple of years. We finally get back out there. We did the tour. Shout out to our team and, you know, everybody out on the road, the promoters, you know, and the fans for hanging on to those tickets. Like it was a tremendous success given the circumstances. But I think I was chasing a lot of the wrong things, you know, speaking to the bigger houses thing a little bit. Comparison. We all know that comparison is the thief of all joy. And I think we all get caught up in that, especially when everything is so on display with social media. You know, you can look at stats, you can look at likes, everything is just so right there for you to compare yourself to the best of the best of what somebody else is putting out. And I think I was caught up in that in a crazy way on social media. I was, you know, being the content guy because we're too stubborn to have somebody help us with it, which we need to change that at some point. But, you know, we're on the biggest tour of our lives. And I'm like, well, crap, you know, we sold out last night. Let me make this video of us doing, you know, we're in Tulsa at the BOK Center. And I'm like, we got to get this content of us like jumping in the crowds here. And that stuff's all cool. But it was like all to like let the industry know that we're out here doing well. And I was chasing that too much and not enjoying the moment. I was like maybe looking forward too much to what was next. And I just really spiraled. It made me resent music because I wasn't doing anything that was related to music. It was like all in the name of trying to get content. And it was like I was not appreciating the fact that there were fans there singing the words back to us, and that wasn't appreciating the fact that I was getting to sing with my best friend or play with our band who we grew up with. Like all these incredible, incredible moments passed me by. And December, you know, came around 2021. We finished the tour in Boston and I got off stage more like defeated than I had ever been. And you know how it is. It's like, it's really hard to be in this position. And I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it, but I think that's why there's a lot of mental health issues and depression in our industry. Because if you're really struggling with something to the public, you feel this responsibility to be a superhero. You feel this responsibility to be unbreakable, you know, like on stage, you have to be like, this is the best night of my life. When in deep down, you could be like, I'm really hurting right now, you know, and this was before we knew to talk to each other, to be open about it with our fans. You know, this is a whole new chapter in an amazing era. But that moment, I got off stage and I was like, I'm done. I don't know if I could ever do this again. And I didn't really say that to anyone. I think Abby kind of knew it, but she is so patient, so incredible, so encouraging with me to kind of work through these issues, you know, work on myself. And I came home from that and I like literally laid on the couch. You know, I'm always going, always doing something, just like you, man, always on the move, always grinding. And that was like the first time in a long time that I just kind of laid there for like 2 weeks to process everything. I was like, I might be done. I might retire, whatever, move back to my hometown, figure it out. But like, I'm burnt out. It was like the most extreme burnout I had ever felt. And I felt like I needed to get myself right first before I made any progress with Shay and our relationship, whether we were going to keep the band together or whatever. It was like, I needed to get myself right on a personal level. I need to fall back in love with music. And I, you know, after doing a lot of soul searching, I realized that previous year I'd written 4 songs total. 2 of them were Christmas songs. 2 of them were for another band. And that is the thing that brings me the most happiness and fulfillment is creating, being in the studio, making music. And I wasn't making any music. And I was like, maybe I start there. So I went out on this little trip for, there's a band called The Band Camino, good buddies of ours, killing it right now. They did a little writing retreat for their album out in Colorado. I was like, you know what? I'll head out there with the boys. It's no pressure, you know, like not writing for Dan and Shay thing where we're saying like, okay, we've had these kind of hits. We need this thing. It's like just a little bit more free form. And if I don't get a single song out there, I'll get to go skiing. Like it'll be fun. So I did, wrote a couple songs and I was like, this is fun. Like there's no pressure. We're not writing for a specific, you know, Dan and Shay thing, like just making music for the sake of making music. And I came home, did the same thing with a couple other buddies. I was like, just trying to do it a couple days a week. And I was like feeling so elated. I was so happy. Once, you know, that went on for a couple months and I just got to this amazing, amazing place. And I was like, you know what? I got to get myself right with Shay. We were about to go out on tour with Chesney, which is Stadium's bucket list tour. I mean, that's like for a support slot, that's the pinnacle of it. And we had that booked and I came to this place. I was like, I got right with myself. I owe it to myself. I owe it to Shay and I owe it to Dan and Shay, the entity, to figure this out. Whether we end this band and we ride off into the sunset, we should go enjoy playing in these football stadiums. Or this could be a launching off point for the next chapter. And I was like, I got to hit Shay. We got to have this conversation tonight. So I called Shay and I was like,
did you know that's why I was calling you? Like, did you?
No, I mean, and I hadn't talked to him, you know? And so it was kind of a conversation I had kind of knew his, kind of knew he, you know, kind of how he felt of like, I knew his burnout. I didn't know the extent of what was going on. But he texted me and was like, hey man, you want to come over tonight? And I was like, okay, he wants to talk about something. I thought it was like, this is going to be kind of it. Honestly, in my heart of hearts, I was like, I think that this might be the end of our band. And I was like, yeah, man, when do you want to do this? You know? And he was like, I can come over there right now. And I was like, oh, okay. He wants to talk like right now. And then I was like, I mean, talk about a full-blown panic, you know, because all this stuff started coming up. And I was like, oh, no, like I was not prepared. This was like a normal Sunday night or something. And I'm like, I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to meet with Dan. And we didn't really talk about it. And we both kind of looked at each other like, I think I'm going to go end my band with my best friend that I haven't been close with in several years. It was just kind of this whole understood, like, this, we'll deal with this one. We'll deal with the wreckage when I get back, you know? And I just remember driving over there, just like sweaty palms, being like, dude, this is heavy, you know? And I was like, this is getting me emotional, right? To teach you how to, this is just my
thank you for giving me an example.
It's not a big deal.
Thank you.
But I was like, man, this is like the last 10 years of my life is about to end, you know, and this is about, we're about to, you know, whatever. And I get there and it was just like this, you know, what's up, dude, you know? And I remember we sat there and Dan just like starts to apologize for like the last 10 years that prompted me to apologize for stuff. And, you know, that's the long and short of it. We sat there until I think I got over there at like maybe, I don't know, 7:30 after I put the kids to bed. I went over there. We stayed up and talked till like 3 a.m. and just hashed through all of these things. And a lot of that was like, all right, we need to really appreciate like what we've gotten to do, whether we continue to do this band. It wasn't like we were dancing around the fact that we both were kind of feeling like, we don't know if we're going to do this anymore. But it was like, man, let's ride off into the sunset. Either way, Dan and Shay is always going to be, was something that Dan said. He was like, we're always going to be a tattoo on somebody's arm, always going to be a first dance song. And I was like, that's great. And I remember like, cause this was kind of after we had had our like really heavy talk, you know, and we had kind of gotten the tears out and all that kind of stuff. And I remember like watching him like grab his phone and type in that title, you know, and I was like, that's a great title. And it was just an incredible night, man. It's like, you know, I feel like a lot of people are scared to say, you know, like, oh yeah, we got together and then we cried, like just a couple of friends. That's pretty lame. Like no one would want to say that out loud, but like it was, man, a lot of tears were shed and a lot of stuff was really figured out. And it wasn't like we figured out all of our problems, but acknowledging that it mattered enough to both of us that we would try. And it was just after that, it was our plan of action was to, all right, let's hang out 3 times a week. Let's get together and let's have no agenda.
See, focus on the fundamentals of the relationship more than what the relationship could do.
Exactly.
It was, let's make sure we do the relationship.
Let's be friends again. Because I feel like that's something that people don't see from the outside. It'd be very easy to be like, yeah, we're in a band. And I feel like every duo in history, especially in country music, I mean, we've had so much devastation, you know, that is wreckage that has been left through different duos, friends of ours that have very publicly happened. And what you don't see is like the behind the scenes stuff that is just like their friendship is, if that gets wrecked, it's just a matter of time. That's a ticking time bomb of, you know, your band separating because you're just going in different directions. And even though Dan and I are such different people at the core, like on every level, that's the reason that it works is because we have extreme respect for one another. And even when your lives are kind of going like this, it's so important to kind of realign yourselves. And even though like, you know, I've got 3 kids at this point, Dan's got dogs, we've got our families, like we have our own responsibilities, but acknowledging like, hey man, I respect the hell out of you for what you're doing. And I, no matter if I believe the same thing that you believe or not, I respect what you believe. And we both have this band in common and we have our fans in common. And I think the world needs to view that too. You know, it's like we have so much, you know, separation in our country and all these things. And it's like, no matter, I feel like when I was growing up, that was kind of the message. Like, all right, you believe this and I believe this. We're going to scream at each other and then we're going to go grab a beer, you know? And I feel like that's kind of been lost on the world a little bit of the value of a good fight. You know, that's the next video that's coming out. It's the follow-up to The Drive. It's called The Fight. It's going to be really good. But I feel like it was, you know, we had to learn to respect each other enough to have those hard conversations when we knew that if things are, if I have a problem now, like it's even happened in the, like the last, you know, 6 months or so where we're like, okay, this is, this is how it should be. No, I think this is how it should be. We talk it out and it's like, awesome. This way is clearly better because we both care. We want the same thing. And we learned how to like focus that stuff and really put a focus on communication, just like in any marriage would be. If you just don't talk about something, that's how us guys most times like think, like, I fixed it.
It's our issue too.
Yeah,
where I don't say anything about it.
Yeah.
I let it live and then I just keep pushing it down. But my wife knows she has to go and get it because I will not.
Yeah.
So
and
exactly
it doesn't put her in a great place. And I don't like that I'm like that a lot of times. But and also I feel like I can fix it in my head myself.
Sure.
Totally.
And just like, I'm going to go and fix it. I'm not even going to tell you the process, but I'm going to come back and it's going to be fixed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that gets me in trouble. But you're right. It's a relationship.
You guys,
marriage, also your marriages to your wives. Like one-on-one's tough regardless of the situation.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
I always enjoy talking to this guy. Great artist, great songwriter, cool husband, cool dad. At number 3, it's Thomas Rhett from episode 411. Now, it was basically an hour-long therapy session, not just for him, but for both of us. We talked about how he's approaching music, and it shocked me that he hadn't been on social media in months, something I couldn't do. I mean, I've been on social media since I started just doing this. Reading this paragraph. I've already been on social media. Here's Thomas Rhett at number 3.
Has your thoughts and philosophy on how much music and how often to release music changed over the last 3 years?
Yeah. Yes, but I feel like I'm not following the trend in the way that I should.
What's the trend, and how do you follow it differently than the trend?
Man, I've put a record out every other year since I was 21 years old, you know? And I think like the last couple of records, as proud of them as I am, I feel like there have been moments where it's been like, we just need to keep writing because we got to keep keeping up. And then you put a record out and there might have been like a song that did a thing, but the rest of the record like wasn't really ready. You know what I'm saying? And so I've been working on a new record for the last 6 months and I don't have a date yet. You know what I'm saying? And I think for a lot of people on the team, it's kind of nerve wracking because I've always just had something in the can to be able to come with if we needed to. But dude, I'm just like, for the first time in my life, I'm just watching so much music come out all the time. And it's so like, I can barely get to through the whole New Music Friday country, much less
not
New
even
Music
the
Friday.
Whole New Music Friday, right?
Like,
whole,
yeah, right. New Music Friday right. country. You know what I mean? Like I get maybe through the first 10 of them and then I'm like, man, I don't even know what's good. You know what I mean? Until the world kind of tells me what is good, I'm not even sure that I know what good is anymore. And so I've had to take a big step back from even the music I've been writing. Like I haven't listened to, and this is rare for me, but like when I'm about to start making records, man, I'm listening to my demos daily, like in the car, in the gym, on the lake with my kids. And I haven't listened to a song of mine in 2 months because I have to just get so far away from it that when I come back to it for the first real time, I want to be blown away by it. Rather than like, gosh, I think this is the next record, but I'm sort of like already sick of it and it's coming out in 3 months. You know what I'm saying?
I would assume that that's already the case with most people, but the, like how you're talking about and the way that you've done it, I could see where that would be amplified.
Yeah.
If you're not putting it out like you'd probably like to do, like you said, every week it's something else, that you could quickly be tired of where that season that you're in right then.
Yeah.
And be onto something else, but you've already started this project and you're still... Well, you created all this in that season. You can't just let it go.
Yeah.
And it would have been easy just to put it out then.
For sure.
So I can see where that is a creative dilemma.
But I think I'm still a little bit of the old school mindset of like, if you have a good body of work, at least give it a real chance and give it a real plan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm not one of those artists that can just like chunk songs out and hope that they become famous on TikTok. Like, I just don't know that I'm one of those artists that can happen to. Maybe I could have like a viral song, but like that's not how I want to release music.
Is it because like, you don't know if you're, because I don't agree with what you're saying about you. I think you don't think you should do it, but I think you're as good as anybody else putting music on TikTok. But are you, because the nature of that is you're going to have to put out a bunch of stuff that doesn't work.
For sure.
And so is that part of it too, where you don't want to put out a bunch of stuff that, you know, just a numbers game. If you put out five things, three and a half or four of them is not going to work.
For sure. It's weird, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back. And we're back on the Bobbycast.
TikTok's cool to me again for music because it's really what I use it for now. I've used TikTok for a lot of different things through... Again, I'll use the word seasons where it's like funny stuff and then it's like a lot of golf videos.
Yeah.
And but now I watch and find a lot of great music that I listen to personally. For example, so there's one girl, woman, her name is Jackie Vinson.
Yeah.
She's from Austin and she's a blues player and she's so good. And it's rare. I'm so jaded. You're jaded too in the way of we just get to be around great people. It's a beautiful jadedness.
Sure.
We see so much greatness all the time.
Yeah.
You really got to be different to stand out.
To stand out.
And I like saw her and I was like, oh my God. Like rarely do I hear or see anything where you're just like,
yeah,
it just feels different.
For sure.
And so I started following her. And the cool thing about algorithm, well, the bad thing is they know everything you're doing and they monitor you and Big Brother's watching and China's got us, all that stuff doesn't matter. But the good thing is they like know what kind of music you like.
Yeah.
Last night I'm on and there used to be a group called Carmen and it was two people. Mike, do you remember Carmen? It was the guy and the girl.
Yeah, they rap.
Okay, so they were a singer and rapper and it was like the 2000s and I saw this girl and her name was like Queen something and she's speed rapping like Busta Rhymes.
Right.
And I'm like, I think that's the woman from Carmen. So I went into it and it was her.
Yeah.
But without TikTok and me just flipping through and finding this stuff, I just don't know if I wouldn't be completely bored with music again at this point.
Yeah.
Because being so jaded by it.
Yeah. For
what,
sure.
What if you were to get on your TikTok, what do you see on yours because of what you're looking at?
Can I be very honest with you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather you not lie, unless it's a really good lie.
I haven't been on social media since January.
Oh, that's great. That's even weirder and better than what you would have said.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'd rather go down that road.
Yeah. It was getting to a point where, I mean, it sounds super cliche to say it, but it was just taking up so much of my time. You know what I mean? And I was finding so much of my worth in a post And like, especially since all the algorithm stuff changed, you started to be like, man, like I used to post videos and they'd get like a million views, no doubt. And then you start to see this thing of like, okay, my views are starting to go down. Does that mean that I am starting to suck more? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what my brain would tell me. I think it's probably everybody.
For a creative, I think that is absolutely fair.
And so, you know, then you would like put songs out and then some people would think they were really cool and then some people would just hate on them. And then you start to see all the people in our genre, the bloggers just be like, this is terrible. This is trash Thomas Rhett music. This is not what he's best at. All these kind of things. And so then you start making music out of fear. One of my producers named Julian said, you can't work out of hit desperation. You have to work out of hit inspiration. And I think for a while there, dude, I was working out of hit desperation because I was so terrified of what this genre would think about what I thought was cool that it got to a point where I just wanted to write what I think they think would be cool.
And there's a lot of predicting going on.
A lot of predicting of being like, well, maybe if I write songs that sort of feel like a Luke Combs thing, then these people will kind of think I'm like, okay again. You know what I'm saying? And maybe if I can do some of this stuff that like Morgan is doing, then maybe this group will think that maybe I can fit into that group. But I didn't like get here by ever fitting into a group.
You actually did the opposite.
I did the complete opposite. And so I started to really not be myself anymore. Just kind of lame to write with, honestly. Just vanilla, straight down the middle stuff.
Okay, what was the bottom for you that made you go, I got to get off? I have to, because something had to happen for you to go, I got to make a change in my life.
Yeah, dude, it was around Christmas time last year. And like, I kind of go into weird places when I'm off the road because this feels like a therapy. Are all your podcasts like therapy sessions like
hey,
this?
Hey, buddy, I am who I am.
Okay.
I go to a lot of therapy myself. Yeah, so, same, you know, maybe.
Same. But when I'm off the road is a really challenging time for me because when you're on the road, you're getting three straight nights of like dopamine affirmation
celebration
hits.
Yes. Love. However you're. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And then you come home and I love my children and I love my wife. It is the complete opposite. It's like retractable dopamine, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I will leave a stage being told I'm the funniest person in the whole world by a couple thousand people. Right. Ha ha ha. And then my wife's like, you did not take out the trash. And she loves me more than they ever will.
For sure.
But you're right.
Yeah.
The dopamine, it is not. And you just feel it's a different kind of loneliness.
No doubt. Yeah. So, you know, I was off the road, been off the road for like 2 or 3 months and just constantly in my freaking phone. You know what I mean? Like, my kids are like literally asking me questions upon questions. I'm literally just, I'm not even hearing them because I'm just here. And so, yeah, it was like January 1st. It was like one of my like New Year's, you know, resolution type things that I thought would last for like 2 weeks because I've never really fully quit social media. And then, yeah, January, man, I haven't even seen an app since January. So I hired a team. I mean, everything that we post is from me. It's just that I'm not physically on scrolling, looking at the comments, doing the stuff.
Well, I got a message from you the other day. I sent you a bunch of Apple gift cards because you said I needed to send you that.
Oh my gosh.
You were like, I need Apple gift cards and Bitcoin. So I sent you
that. Oh, good.
That.
So you sent them to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah. So
thank you
should
that.
Have that.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't you?
That was not
oh,
me.
Oh, son of a gun. I got scammed
I
again.
It.
Golly. Yeah. Good self-awareness. Like, I think we all know.
Yeah.
I have a friend. You know him too. He's one of my best friends. I won't say his name here, but he locks his apps up. He has a... It's not Dirk's, but Dirk's also does this. But he goes to a flip phone
mm-hmm.
at different times during the month when he's starting to feel a little anxious. And then when he's not and he's on his smartphone, there is an app. Oh, I don't care. Hey, get on it.
I don't know how to turn it down.
Yeah.
It's a
Twitter's
baby
yelling
monitor
at you.
Notification.
Don't forget me. He has an app that locks all of his social media up at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And you can't get off. You can't get on it unless you have the code. The only person that has his code is his manager.
Gotcha.
And so he
I would like delete it off my phone every day.
And then,
just re-download it.
I would do that and then then get on the internet on my computer.
Yeah.
And then do like the browser version. I'd be like, well, I'm kind of, I have a weird relationship with social media.
Yeah.
But I think that self-awareness is like, that's extremely valuable that you found that.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever go back?
Probably. At some point in time. And I've quit a couple things this year I quit nicotine this year, which I love nicotine so much.
Never had it. What's good about it? Get me started. Like, sell me on it.
I don't know. I mean, I started dipping when I was like, you know, 18 years old, Grizzly Wintergreen. And then when I turned like 28, I started using this stuff called Zen.
Is that in the packs? Or
yeah, it's like just nicotine and mint. And like, it kind of just became, I'm trying to quit things that are crutches for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, social media was a crutch. It was the place where I went where I needed validation. But then it was the place that I hated when it didn't validate me. You know what I'm saying?
Polar.
And so nicotine was kind of like that crutch for me. It was just like, when I felt nervous, nicotine. When I felt weird, nicotine. When I felt happy, nicotine. It was like always just a thing. And so, I mean, I haven't been off of it that long, but it's been 3 weeks, which is the longest I've ever gone. So
I think I'm going to start after that.
In the year of quitting things, that's a long time.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
At number two, it's one of country music's most powerful female voices, Martina McBride. I hadn't spent a lot of time with Martina, so it was super cool she came by. She stopped by to talk about her career, which is over 30 years long, being inducted into the Grand Ole Opry back in the 90s, and, you know, the genius way she landed a record deal. Big fan. Who's not? From episode 388, here's Martina McBride at number two.
1993, you get inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. You mentioned Loretta Lynn earlier. She's the one who does it. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that night?
It was part of a television special. It was like an anniversary of the Opry. And Loretta's so funny. She came to do the rehearsal, and they gave me a plaque. And she said, well, during rehearsal, she said, is this what I'm supposed to give you? This is what you get for joining the Opry? And I said, yeah, I guess so. And so she said, she kind of laughed. And during the ceremony, she said, welcome to the Opry, honey. This is what you get.
That's super cool that it was her. And she's the one, like, just first of all, anything with her.
Yeah.
But she's the one inducting you into the greatest country music space
right.
in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a special memory. Did you know that she was going to be inducting you before, like, rehearsals? With it? Because sometimes, you know, the invite is a surprise. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, but they didn't do it like they did.
They didn't just
then.
Show up and surprise you at a performance.
I went to lunch with the head of the Opry, and he asked me at lunch, and then I got to ask who I wanted to induct me.
So you chose Loretta. Mm-hmm. Okay. Man, being told at lunch by someone who, an executive, is like being proposed to on the phone. It's like, I mean, you're still getting married and that's awesome, but you didn't even get on a knee.
Yeah, I don't think they did it like that back then. Now I love how they do it now, where I got to be that person for Charlie Daniels. I got to ask him to join the Opry.
And he didn't know you were there? You guys kept it completely secret?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest. Those videos where people are surprised, just through I would say the history, because you're right, they didn't do it like that 25 years ago, yeah. I think like 20 years,
yeah.
They started doing it a little bit. But those videos where people get surprised and they're awesome. Like, oh my God, they're awesome. Only second to whenever somebody from the military comes home and surprises their kids.
I love those videos.
Man, those are good too. Yeah. What I don't like when they show the videos of the dogs with one eye and Sarah McLachlan sings. Those videos I don't like, but I like what they're doing. I just don't like those videos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what comes to me. You sign a record deal, 91. How fast until you actually take off and have a hit? From the moment you signed until you're on the radio and you got a number one song.
Yeah, it was a second record. I didn't have a number one song until the third record. Wild Angels was my first number one. It actually just happened the other day. I think it was in 1996. So it took five or six years to really get to that place. But before Wild Angels, I had Independence Day. And I had my first three.
Independence Day wasn't a number one song?
No, it was number 10.
Maybe. Again, I'm just the consumer here. The song that I would know you for the most.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a number one song.
Right. That's a whole story. Like, you know, we had a lot of resistance at radio with that song.
Because?
The subject matter. And I think it was really because she burned the house down. You know, it was like she took action that just didn't sit very well with a lot of radio people.
Bizarre.
And so... It's funny because I was so passionate about that song. Like, it literally changed my life, not only career-wise, but just my awareness and my, you know, wanting to try to help some way, and all the letters that I got and the people that I talked to and heard their stories. And it was so big for me. And so my pro bono guy, once again, Mike Wilson, came to me and he said, I think we're losing the song. I don't think it's going to make it. And I was like, what? How is this possible? And he goes, well, there's a, you know, maybe 20 stations that won't refuse to play it. And I said, can I talk to them? Can you give me their numbers? And I want to have a conversation. And he was like, sure, I guess. Like, that's not usually done, but I guess so. And so I got on the phone with these guys and I was just like, talk to me. Like, tell me, what is it? And some of them would say, we just don't think it's appropriate that it's on our station. And I said, oddly enough, this is right. Independence Day came out maybe 7 weeks before Nicole Brown Simpson was murdered. So all of a sudden it was on, that story was everywhere. And so I said, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about domestic violence every day, several times a day on your newscast, right? Yet you don't feel like this song can be listened to or whatever. And I turned a few of them around. There were 10 stations that never did play it, but I was able to, they would give it a chance, you know? One guy said to me, that video, like, if I'm sitting with my daughter and that video comes on, then I have to talk to her and explain things. And I'm like, yeah, dude.
I'll be in the dad.
That's maybe not a bad idea. So it was interesting. It's just a different time, you know?
Is it odd when people just think that song is about 4th of July?
Yeah.
Like, on 4th of July, you hear the song and you're like, no, it's not the same thing, guys. We're not talking about literal Independence Day of America.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll be like, it's your July 4th playlist. And
Every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Independence Day comes on. And I'm like,
I think that's what you were talking about earlier, how sometimes you can just sing a song for years and not really ever, you kind of just sing the chorus and you're distracted during the verses or whatever. Because I think a lot of people don't know what that song is about still, but then so many people do. And that's, you know, that's the song that I've heard and thought to myself, somebody needs to hear this song. This is going to be the song for somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I get letters, people saying, that's what, I got in the car and I heard that song on the radio and that's, I decided I'm out of here. I've had enough, right? So it's like, that's the power. That's not me. That's the power of music and the power of a song.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor. And we're back
on the Bobbycast.
Three questions for you. When you finally win for female vocalist, because you were up a couple times in like the late 90s, but in like maybe 2003 or so, I think you won the first time. Three in a row, by the way. It was like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, it was 1999.
Is that you won in 99? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first time you win, and you had always been able to envision yourself winning, did you have that moment while it was happening where you're like, I've always, like, it, while it was happening, like, I always could see this, and now it's actually happening?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It was like, not an out-of-body experience, but like, it's so, okay, I want to say this and not have it come off as in a conceited way, because I'm not, but, and it's not where it's coming from, but like, well, like, it goes back to what I was saying before. You kind of have to believe it. You kind of have to believe it. Otherwise, all of the rejection and the being away from home, the traveling and the recording and all of the stuff that you do is, you know, you have to believe that it's going to pay off in that moment, as in that moment. So, you know, for there was a, I don't know, maybe it might have been even 4 or 5 years we were nominated and didn't win. And you just go, what's going to happen? It's going to happen.
So you still believed it was going to happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you got that close and didn't?
Yeah. Because it was too, maybe premature. Like, I feel like that was a good feeling for me was when we finally won, I felt like we'd been around long enough to kind of deserve it in a way. And my team, you know, everybody that worked so hard, it was rewarding. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm so glad it didn't happen too fast. I'm so glad I feel like I'm kind of in this industry and that people really wanted me to win maybe. So, but yeah, there's that moment where you go, well, this is it, you know?
The first times that you didn't win, are you like listening for, and it's, is it deflating or is it, do you really feel, anytime I ever lose, I'm not honored to be there.
Right.
I'm like, this sucked.
Yeah.
Or are you honored just to be there and you're like, oh, I'll get them next time. Like, what? Like,
yeah, I was kind of like that. I was really, because I would look at the category and the other females in the category and I was just like, wow, like, it's so amazing that I'm even in the same, like these people even know. I remember when I walked past Alan Jackson one time at an award show, probably the first CMA awards that I went to, and he's in the front row and I walked by him and kind of, you know, I'm kind of an introvert, really, honestly, an extroverted introvert.
Same.
So I'm always the kind of person that doesn't want to go up to somebody and introduce myself. I don't want to bother them. You know what I mean? But I walked past him and I just kind of looked at him and thought to myself, oh my God, that's Alan Jackson. And he said, I love your stuff. And I was like, oh my God, Alan Jackson knows who I am and has heard my music. What in the world, you know? So it was like that.
I don't think it came off conceited at all. And I'm a big believer in what I would call a healthy arrogance, because if I don't have it, if I don't believe in me so much, nobody else is going to.
Yeah.
Like, I have to. Because at times other people are going to go, yep or nope or I don't know, prove it. But if I don't believe in me and I don't believe what I'm putting out is worth people buying a ticket if I'm doing a comedy show or spending 20 minutes with me in the morning or reading a book, if I don't believe it, and I don't believe it's great, nobody else will.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have to be that. And I have no problem. It's just for me at times, I think I get so insecure that healthy arrogance tends to come off the other way because I'm so insecure that it's like, well, I got to prove to everybody that I don't take any crap and let's go. That's my problem. When things started to really pop for me, there were a couple times where I had to be like, whoa, you got to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I have that awareness.
I was going to say, you're aware of
luckily.
It. Luckily. Yeah.
Did you ever have to have that talk with you? That's a weird question to ask where you're like, oh, it's hitting now. Like, let's make sure we make some wise decisions.
Not because of an arrogance thing or insecurity, really. But, you know, it took me a really long time to realize that I had some power. Like, you know, nobody tells you that. When you start out, they're like, there's all kinds of people that want you to do what they think you should do. And I mean, everybody from video directors to art directors to producers to everybody. Executives. And it took, I think it was my husband actually that said, you know, they're kind of working for you in a way. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So then you can kind of assert your power over your creativity and your own persona and
over
how
yourself.
People see you over yourself.
Yeah.
And that can get pretty heady. So sometimes I feel like, especially, I don't, you know, as a woman, I kind of had to check that a little bit just to not alienate everyone.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style.
A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in HOPE. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things, and financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in HOPE and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
And we've made it all the way to number one as far as the number one Bobbycast of 2023. This one is at number one because, one, it did really well, but it also just surprised me. Because I can tell you, I had no relationship at all with Chase Rice. You know, he could beat me up. I thought he might. All those factors. And so I was like, oh, well, let's see where this goes. But it's from episode 387. Again, super downloaded, a lot of feedback because we really got into some hard topics that I think a lot of people can relate to. And I was very surprised with his generosity on talking about some of this stuff. He talked about losing his dad, dealing with grief and depression at the height of his career, and why he's purposely choosing to be lonely right now. This is a side of Chase Rice I'd never seen before. I really liked it. You guys really liked it. So here he is, Chase Rice at number one.
A credit to your dad, and I'm sure you feel this way and you love him. But it is, you're right, it is so rare for someone to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when you talk about him, you're like, he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is pure love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just feels like in relationships, no matter what it is, if it's parent, brother, sister, best friend, work, like, everybody's going to do things and mess up and do great. It's just that the value of of two humans working together. And, but man, consistency, that's as much love as you could possibly get. Like that just sounds like the greatest dude.
Yeah, he was there. That's the number one. But it wasn't like he was just there and absent. He was there, and he gave you all the attention. And then like through high school and stuff, didn't miss any of the games.
Do you still miss him?
Oh yeah, all the time.
When did? Because my mom died 10, maybe 13 or so years ago. My grandmother raised me, adopted me for a while too, and I have moments in waves where I'll like see something. It doesn't have to be, but it just reminds me. And it's like I get kicked in the like side.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, I really miss.
Yeah.
What is it for you?
Sometimes I was reading a book this morning and it was talking about dreams. It was this psychiatrist book. It was talking about the dreams this one of her patients had. And that's the best way I can explain like when it does kick you on the side. You're just like, damn, it comes out of nowhere too. Where all of a sudden you're back, you remember the phone call. I remember the phone call from my mom, Chase. She said my name. It was real shaky. And I shut the fridge. Like, I remember details. Shut the freezer. And she I said, oh, God. My first thought when she said my name and it was shaky was, oh, God, what has she found out that I've done? Like, that's a guilty conscience right there. And then she said, Chase, come home. Dad died. And I'm just like, whoa, what? Like, the only way I know how to explain it is the worst dream you ever had in your life, where it's that nightmare where you wake up and you're like, oh, was that real? Okay, no, that wasn't real. Thank God that wasn't real. Like, that would end your life if that was real. It would end life as you know it anyway. But it's that, and it's real, and then it doesn't stop. And for the next few hours, you're still processing what just happened. And I was driving home, like,
where you drive from Nashville?
Chapel
back
Hill.
To,
okay. I lived in Chapel Hill. I was in college, so I was driving from Chapel Hill to Asheville. The first phone call I made was my ex girlfriend, who was like my high school girlfriend, so she knew him really well. Called her, told her. I don't remember how that conversation went. My brother, Casey, and I talked 3 times on the drive home, and it was more just like, what's going on? Because I didn't ask how he died. He had a heart attack, but I didn't know that. In my mind, he fell off the roof or something, working on the house. So that whole drive was just like, sometimes, like, this morning it didn't happen, but sometimes it'll hit you, like, you'll be back in that place where your mom calls you, and it hits you like a ton of bricks, and your life just stops. And you're back in that moment. It's even if it's for a split second, but you're just back there, and it's a shit feeling. But I have done a lot of work, talking to people, therapy stuff. Like, I went to rehab twice, and the first time I went, I was like, I didn't talk about anything that I thought I was gonna. You go back into all this stuff, mm-hmm. which is awesome. You now looking back, I'm like, okay, that's so necessary. But I dealt with the loss of him a lot, but it's never gonna go away.
And you're right. First, you're right. It's not gone away at all for me, especially the waves. Like, it's not as constant, but the waves are equally as powerful, right, when they do come in.
Yeah.
But also, I look at it as a blessing, too, that I get to be sad, which is a twisted-ish way. But my grandmother was so valuable.
Yeah.
I had no consistency at all. You know, my dad left when I was 5 or 6. My mom was an addict her whole life, died in her 40s. My grandma adopted me and was there. And the fact that I'm so sad and miss her so much, like, I feel very lucky that I get to be sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because she was that awesome.
Yeah,
that I'm lucky that I'm sad, because I could not be sad, and I would have had no consistency and no love.
That's a crazy awesome way to look at it.
I think it's survival for me, honestly. I do believe it, but it's weird even to say out loud, where it's like, I feel blessed to be sad, because that was the one person for me that was, she was 70, but she was right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I hear the stories about your dad, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
But I'm also super grateful that you had that.
This crossed my mind for sure. Like, would you rather have, and I told people all the time back then, I'll still say it, like, I got more out of 22 years than most people get from their dad in a lifetime. And I've wondered, like, what's harder? What happened with me or never knowing him at all? And I'll take what happened with me all day.
10 times out of 10. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back. Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
The back of your record is your dog.
Yeah.
Also very meaningful to you.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So
I haven't seen him like a week this morning.
Saw him today?
We had a morning, yeah.
So tell me about him.
So he's a black lab. His name's Jack. I always wanted a dog, but I wanted him for I always wanted to go bird hunting with my own dog. So that's what I've got him for, and he goes to training back and forth.
Does he point hard?
He's not a pointer. He's a retriever, though.
Got it.
He's
so you take him duck hunting?
Yeah.
And he goes and gets it, brings it back
this
quick?
This morning, we were on a walk, and I was throwing the thing. He'll go till he drops. But I got him because of the song Bench Seat, which is on my record, which is a song about my buddy almost shooting himself.
You wrote that one by yourself, From My Mind. Is that right?
Yeah.
Got it.
And I wrote it in my breakfast room. And it was the third song that I wrote by myself on the record. But I'm writing this song, and I'm in my mind, I've got a video going through. Like, I don't know why the whole video is in my head while I'm writing. It actually helped me write the song. And it's about my buddy who put a gun to his head and didn't pull the trigger twice. Thought he was a coward for not being able to do it. It's like, damn, no. That's when you're in a bad place, when you can't even see, like, you did the right thing, man. And he didn't, because his dog came up, put his head on his lap.
He felt love then.
Yeah, he knew he'd have to leave the dog. Like, who's going to take care of him? He might even put blood on the dog. Like, he would have made a mess.
And that's love from him to the dog, worrying about the dog.
Yeah.
And love. Wow.
And he knew, this dog is pretty awesome. Talking about my buddy's dog. But he knew what the dog was thinking, like, don't do this. And I think the dog knew there was a problem. Obviously, maybe not cognitive thought like we have, but he knew there was something wrong. And so he came into my house and got help, you know, just second or third night. I go up and flip the light on. I'm like, which is funny because going back to my dad caught me on the phone talking to a girl, saying a bunch of shit you just don't say to girls. And then at the end of the conversation, I said, I love you. Like I was clueless. You're middle school. You don't know. Middle school. And he came up. This is crazy. I don't know if I've ever pieced this together, but he came up, flipped the light on and sat down. And I knew I was busted. It's like, oh no. He was on the phone the whole time. Fast forward to my buddy. It was like, I had this thing where like, I knew he was in trouble, different situation. I'm not his dad. You know, it's a different situation, but I went up and I flipped the light on and leaned against the wall and just said, what's up, dude? And he said, oh, I'm good. He's like sitting up out of bed. He's trying to go to sleep. Dog was on the floor. And I said, no, what's up? Why are you here? I said, you never come to visit me like this. You don't even, like, I had a show in Atlanta. You didn't even come to the show. What are you doing here? And what's, because he was dark. And he just loses it. Face gets red, starts bawling his eyes out, puts his hand like this, and explains how he almost shot himself, I guess, two or three nights before. And that point, I'm just listening. And he got the work from a lady here that I was seeing who was awesome. She like made it a point. Okay, I need to see him every day. Started the work then. That's been years ago. That was probably 2018, 19. And then fast forward to 2020 sometime, and he's at my house. He's doing much better. I'm like, okay, I got my friend back. He's back. And now he's doing even better. I saw him over Christmas. He's awesome, man. He just got engaged. He's joking around the fire, and he's like, man, bro, you should write a song about a guy driving around his truck with his dog. And I just laugh. I'm like, that's cliche, like the most cliche song you can almost write. 3 days later, I text or call him and I was like, dude, I wrote it. It's not gonna be what you're gonna expect. Fast forward to me writing bench seat, having the video movie idea in my head. That was the moment I was like, okay, if I'm gonna have a dog in this video, it's gonna be my dog. Originally, it was gonna be the puppy. It took us 2 years to piece together the video and make it right. So Jack's the middle dog in the video. But that's what sent me over the edge of like, all right, I'm getting a dog finally.
And you put him on the back of the record to show what?
Cowboys and Dogs, for whatever reason, was the theme of this record, probably because I was addressing, you know, my dad who's on the cover. And then Jack was on the back. Jack, I think I mentioned dog like four or five times in this record. I'll get off it on the next one, but that's where I'm at in life. This dog, he came into my life. I wouldn't say saved my life or anything, but he's made my life a lot better, and he's made me more capable of loving someone and being loved.
Absolutely. Did it for me. My dog did the same thing.
Yeah.
People think I'm crazy when I say that.
Yeah, I think.
And when I said amen, I was just a visceral reaction to me going, I felt that.
Yeah.
Why do you think that about you?
I don't like the idea of someone loving me, and I don't know why. I think it stems from my dad passing away, to where I haven't had that in 15 years now. So I'm like, I'm good. Plus you put on this front like you're all tough. Plus you have fame start coming into the picture, so you don't really know who to trust. And I just don't like the idea. It makes me uncomfortable. So it's funny when I'm that tough guy or putting on the act, and then all of a sudden I'm rolling around on the floor with Jack, and he has a thing about it. There's no judgment. There's no falseness to it. It's just you and your dog rolling around on the floor and me like talking in a higher pitched voice than I'm used to, that I'll ever talk to anybody. So I think first it's allowed me to let myself be loved by something or someone. And then that can flip. Hopefully that, you know, allows me to flip it into loving somebody at some point. And I'm not saying I don't love it. Like, I love my mom. I love my brother.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But like a romantic trust, non-blood love that you don't.
Right.
That you have to work at.
You have to work.
Because your brother's going to be your brother regardless. You may get into a fight, but he's always going to be your brother.
Yeah.
You, how old are you?
37.
Okay, so I didn't get married until I was 39 and never been engaged, was never in a serious relationship. And in my vows, what I said, I said, the hardest thing I'm going to have to do is learn to be loved.
Be loved, yeah. Wow.
And my dog, Dusty, who I had for 13 years, like I would practice because I did. I love that dog. I never told anybody I loved him my whole life. Yeah. I didn't say, I just didn't. I didn't know I didn't. I didn't know how to. But that dog, yeah. I would tell him all the time. Like, I mean, it makes me emotional to think about it. I was just like, I would say, man, I love you. I love. And it's the only that I wouldn't even, I couldn't even say love in recreating a situation that I didn't say it. We were talking about, and they'd be on the show, be like, well, what if you met, how would you say it? I'd be like, oh, I can't. I literally, that dog, like almost, like trained me to when it finally happened.
Yeah,
and it wasn't easy.
Wow.
But when it finally happened, with my wife now, it was like this feels different. I can't piss this away. I know I'm capable because I love that animal before he died.
Yeah.
So when you said that, I was like, dang, I felt that more than anything.
Yeah.
Because that was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
It's a 13-year-old dog who I adopted from a puppy mill. And that changed it. And that changed it all. Are you like, I mean, I'm assuming you want a family.
Yeah, I do for sure. I'm in a place right now where I'm extremely lonely a lot, but I'm okay with it. It's not like I'm in this depressed state. I'm living in it, man. And I also understand that a dog isn't enough. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's 50 years old just with him and his dog. But I've earned it. Like, I've earned the lonely. But I'm doing it on purpose for now because I just feel like that's what I need to do for myself. And also, I think it's going to take something that extreme to get me out of this place or get me into the place of wanting to really be with somebody, one person. Because I'll tell you one thing, I think about this all the time, but like going down the road of a lot of women, no matter how tough you can sound in front of your buddies and the ones that say, don't ever get married and all this, it leads you to extreme depression. And I don't know all the details of why, but it leads you to a very, very dark place. And it leads you to a lot of sex with a zero intimacy. And then the more you do it, the more it leads you to just wanting to be alone. And it's a dark place to be.
And there you have it, the top 10 Bobbycast of 2023. Next week, we're back with another, like, for real episode. But if there's anyone you'd like us to have on an upcoming Bobbycast, send us a DM on Instagram, at TheBobbycast. We're also on TikTok, at TheBobbycast. We upload full episodes to YouTube. Check us out there as well. Have a happy new year. We'll see you in 2024. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they will last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. And don't go gently, y'all.